It's time now for Looking Skyward, where we examine recent events in the world of astronomy. I'm John Basile, speaking with Dr. Regina Jorgensen, director of the Mariah Mitchell Observatory on Nantucket. Hello, Regina.
Hi, John.
With all the focus these days on COVID-19, what does your world, the world of astronomy, have to do with that?
Yeah, well, as I'm sure is true in most fields, COVID-19 is definitely affecting the fields of astronomy and space research right now. So, for example, all meetings and conferences have been canceled or postponed. The summer American Astronomical Society meeting, which is typically held in early June, is going to go ahead as a fully remote virtual meeting. In terms of telescopes, most major ground-based telescopes have been shut down in Chile and in Hawaii. Space telescopes and missions, of course, because they're in space, they still are continuing to operate. For example, the Hubble Space Telescope and Chandra X-ray Space Telescope. But all meetings and related events have been canceled or postponed. And for example, NASA has paused work on some of its major missions, including the James Webb Space Telescope, which is the predecessor to Hubble, as well as work on a future Mars rover. And so, you know, a lot of astronomers are definitely being affected, as we all are, of course, by this new sort of reality for the moment.
And are there things that the scientific community, the astronomical community, are doing to help the situation?
Yeah, that's a great question. So actually, yeah, recently NASA has announced that in partnership with some other large agencies, they're going to be providing time on their supercomputer system for COVID-19 researchers. And so this will allow them to access to these very, very fast computers that can perform many calculations really quickly and help researchers understand more about COVID-19. There's also some other efforts underway in the form of, for example, crowdsourced websites to organize and employ scientists to help support COVID-19 researchers. There's one called Crowdfight COVID-19 that tries to match scientists in other fields with scientists who are actually virologists who are working on understanding and stopping COVID-19. And so to try to match up those skill sets in order to help fight this.
Turning to a topic that's a little more typical of this program, I guess we're going to get a look at a comet pretty soon.
Yeah, that's right. This is kind of fun. This is a comet. It's called C2019, otherwise known as Atlas, and it's currently crossing the orbit of Mars on its way to the sun. Its closest approach to Earth will be in late May, May 23rd. It's not coming very close, though. It's going to be about 73 million miles away from Earth. But as it's getting closer and closer to the sun, it's actually brightening. So it's becoming brighter. And the estimates are that around early May or so, the comet might become bright enough that it'll actually be visible to the naked eye. And in fact, some of its estimates are that it'll be up to a brightness of about -6 or so, which is about 100 times brighter than the brightest star in the sky. So if that really happens, this could be quite a treat for nighttime stargazers. Unfortunately, we're not sure if that will really happen or not, because what tends to happen is as comets get closer to the sun, they tend to disintegrate a little bit. And so it's a little difficult to predict exactly how bright it will become. But we will keep you updated on that. And if it is something we can all go outside and check out with just the naked eye, that would be a really, really nice thing to look forward to.
And finally, I hear that scientists are learning a lot about an asteroid.
That's right. So this is a Japanese mission that actually took place last year called Hayabusa 2. And the mission visited an asteroid called Ryugu last year. This asteroid is about a half a mile big. It's sort of shaped like a diamond. And just to remind everyone, asteroids are remnants from the early formation of the solar system about 4.5 billion years ago. And they're basically space rocks. And some of these actually do cross the Earth's orbit. And so they can be potentially dangerous. And so that's one reason why we're interested in studying them, of course, is so that we are able to watch out for these potential impactors. About 3/4 of asteroids are carbon rich. And unfortunately, these types of asteroids are rarely found as meteorites on the Earth. because they also happen to be very porous and sort of low density, so not very structurally sound, which is actually, I guess, good for life on Earth, because when they do impact the Earth, they actually mostly break up in the atmosphere. And so they don't make it to the ground to be found as meteorites. And so while that's good for life on Earth, it's not good for people who want to study those types of asteroids. And so they're not really well studied. So this Hayabusa mission, the whole point was to understand these carbon-rich asteroids better. And the reason we want to do that is because they're thought to be the sort of missing link in planet formation. So in other words, they are thought to be the link between space dust and larger solid planetary bodies. So how does space dust go from particles of dust that sort of stick together and glom together and then eventually form really large solar system bodies like planets? And so what this Hayabusa 2 mission did, it did a couple really, really interesting things. One neat thing was it actually sent, did an impact experiment to generate an artificial crater on the surface of the asteroid. So it sent an apparatus to basically blast a hole in the surface. There's video of this online, by the way, so I encourage people to go check it out because it's really cool to watch. And they made an artificial crater and then were able to go back and look at the crater. And essentially what they saw is that the crater was much bigger than they had expected, which meant that this asteroid is actually more porous than they had thought and more fragile than they had thought. That kind of helping scientists understand this sort of missing link in the formation of planetary bodies. And one really fun takeaway from this story is that a sample of Ryugu is actually being returned to Earth. So the spacecraft was actually able to grab a sample of it, put it in a capsule. It's on its way back to Earth right now, and it'll land in the end of 2020, in somewhere in Australia, and we'll actually have pieces of that asteroid in our hands, which is pretty fun.
Dr. Regina Jorgensen is the director of the Mariah Mitchell Observatory on Nantucket. Thanks very much, Regina. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
It sounds good. Thank you.